Okay, I'd like to introduce Judy Fiel, who is a UU member, used to be a member of our fellowship, and is now a member, I'm assuming you...
Big Sky.
Big Sky.
Yeah.
Okay, and is now living in Helena, and most of us know Judy. She's been, she was the founder of our Montana Women's Chorus, and is a singer, songwriter, extraordinary.
Thank you.
So just a minute, I'll call you up here, right? We're going to start with The Goddess Lives, right? That's going to be our first song. Okay, so this this goddess thing. How many have you read The Chalice and the Blade? Yeah. Turn me around. And then I found out later it was kind of a rewriting of history, perhaps. But it still turned me around. And I can remember a point in my early feminism in which my feminist lesbian book repertoire was held in one shelf about twice the size of this lectern. That was what was out there for us to read. Now, it's endless and has really moved. Our minds are open to many more things, I think, than what they used to be. And then some things we're not so open to. This is the human dilemma, I guess. At any rate, I remember, because I was born and raised in the Lutheran Church. In fact, the Norwegian Lutheran Church in Melville, Montana. It was originally a Norwegian Lutheran church and is the oldest Lutheran congregation in Montana. So I was well indoctrinated in patriarchal God worship. Because when the Christians came to that area that is now known as Norway, they saw those Vikings, those rough and tough Vikings, and they said, this was Thor. No, it was Olaf, the king Olaf. And he said, you will become Christians or I will cut off your heads. So those who survived became Christians. And that's pretty much the way it worked throughout a lot of Northern Europe. And if you've read the book by Rebecca Parker and Rita Nakashima Brock, who spoke at our gathering in Billings, oh, those many years ago, you know that the original first 10 millennia of, or a thousand years rather, of Christianity, there were no violent symbols. There was no crucifix. There were no swords. There were no onward Christian soldiers going on to war. It was really peaceful. Jesus was depicted as the shepherd of paradise. But things change. And they did change. Well, also what happened is that this little girl grew up in that Lutheran church and went to St. Olaf College. And I changed there, too. Because Norwegian Lutherans are kind of notoriously open-minded. And so I was taught many things. I also was there during the time in which Martin Luther King was killed. Earth Day was first established. I marched in the first Earth Day parade. Things changed. Oh, I forgot to hit my timer. Okay. We'll see. Start now. All right. That gives me an extra 5 minutes or so. Anyway, during that time, my mind got opened up to all sorts of possibilities. But one of the main possibilities that happened was I had what is known at St. Olaf as a faith crisis. It happens to almost everyone at that wonderful Lutheran school, the faith crisis. And knocked me on my rear, but not, it didn't provide me with much of an alternative except to think that this just doesn't add up. But when the author started writing about the goddess, then that caught my imagination in another way. And this is another one of those 20-minute songs. So chorus, come on up. This is one, I can still remember the green shag rug in my duplex in Davis, California, where I was living, and I was writing another song that some of you might have heard of mine, the song about Butte called Scars on the Land. And that song took years to write. So I'm writing on that song, thinking about it again, thinking about the pit, thinking about the sky and the stuff going up in the sky, and thinking about the people who suffered, man, yada, yada. All of a sudden, here comes this song. Because I'd just been up in the Sierras the weekend before, and I had images of those beautiful snow-covered mountains. So this song came in. The goddess lives here in these mountains. The goddess lives here in the sky. The goddess lives here in these rivers and rocks. And has been longing to hear. So when they come around again, that's your part too. You don't have to do three-part harmony. They're doing that up here. Okay, here we go. My turn. The goddess lives right here in Bozeman. In every face passing by, the goddess lives here in the sounds of the street, and so do I. I live with the goddess. I live with the spirit. The goddess lives here in my mind. The goddess lives here in this body I've got, and so do I. I live the goddess,
so do I.
I live the goddess,
so do I.
The goddess lives here in this body I've got, and so do I. Lives here in these mountains.
The goddess lives here in these mountains.
The sky.
The goddess lives here in the sky,
rivers and rocks.
The goddess lives here in these rivers and rocks, and so do I.
I live with the goddess.
So do I.
I live with the goddess.
So do I.
The goddess lives here in these rivers and rocks, and so do I. Memory of singing that song was at a NOW conference in Las Vegas. So we're in one of those conference rooms, you know, heavily carpeted with all the air conditioning sucking every bit of available sound out of the room, and outside the people are smoking and pulling the one-armed bandits, and they're singing, I live with a goddess. You know, it's good. So then, you know, the question, though, that kept coming back to me was, is there really such a thing as an interactive deity? That question remains pretty pretty strong. Some people believe, it's like there are two kinds of people. People who believe there's an interactive deity, well, maybe three. And people who think, well, maybe there is. And people who think, no. And you, we've got mostly no ways and maybes. We got a few folks that say, oh yes, definitely, when I pray, things happen. At any rate, I made some notes going down the road today. Judaism gave me a little bit of an answer for this for a while. Judaism has some incredibly profound mythology to it. One of the things that I learned was that in the concept of God or the practice of God in Judaism, that there is Elohim and Adonai. Adonai is who was translated as Lord, which is a word that's hard for me to say. But Adonai, which is also a male word I understand in Hebrew, but it means that collective will that lets us change what's going on. Elohim is nature. The awe and wonder of nature, which many of us, we get the Elohim. And we get the Adonai. In many ways, you's are Jews. We just might not be going to the synagogue. But that's kind of how a lot of us sit. We're not necessarily big on the interactive deity, thinking that I'm going to pray to that big old one that brought us the tablets down and things are going to change overnight because I can call on him for miracles. We generally just don't follow that. But we do follow the idea that if we all want a better world, what do? We do something about it. That is Adonai. Well, about the time I was working on that, this song came, and I've sung this before in Bozeman, and I know many of you really love this song, so feel free to join in whenever you're comfortable. Now, if there is a God, God is elusive. If there is a God, God is right in my face. If there is a God, I'm not so important. If there is a God, is that who's given me grace? Sometimes I don't, but grace I feel, and grace I know, and grace is touching my soul. Now if I believe, do I practice detachment, walk in silence, sit for days, lay down my life, fighting for justice, or live like a poet and sing God's praise? In my soul. Now if there is a God, do I argue gender? If God is so big, does God even care? I don't mean about me, I just mean about the details. So I'm blinded by God, they say that God's everywhere. Oh, but grace I see, God I don't. Sometimes I believe, sometimes I don't, but grace I see, and grace I know. If God is grace, then God is touching my soul. Grace I see, God I don't. Sometimes I believe, sometimes I don't, but grace I feel, and grace I know, and grace is touching my soul. Thank you. It feels good to sing that song again. You know, when you've written this many songs, and I don't tour as much as I used to, I have to review the lyrics, and I have to, what is the guitar on that thing? Well, one more song evolution here. This, what's the title of today? It's about the earth. Because it's Earth Day, which was pretty much brought on by a woman's consciousness that changed the consciousness of literate people to be more where people who are in oral culture actually have always known a truth, which is that we gotta take care of the earth. Rachel Carson, Silent Spring, changed the lives and minds of literate people. So, so I started asking other questions. What happens to people whose deities become all powerful? So in other words, if I give to a deity the power that some people give to a deity in prayer, which is, like, take it over, baby. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. You take care of it. What happens when that happens? Well, I think two things happen. One is that people begin abdicating responsibility. People quit doing what they're supposed to do. They think, God will take care of it. No problem. No problem with this climate change thing. God will take care of it. We don't need science. God will take care of it. I hate to say it, but that's not that far off. I'm making light of it, but it's not that far off. So what happens then when human beings begin abdicating the responsibility for what it is that we have done to this planet with our extra large cerebral cortexes and our never-ending curiosity and our need to invent things and conquer? What happens? Well, one thing that happens, I think, is that not only do the people abdicate their responsibility, but the deities get what I call a big head. They get a little full of themselves. So I started imagining this goddess named Sanuve. And some of you have met Sanuve the puppet. And Sanuve does have a big head. That head started the puppet, and that head was originally a head of a caterpillar for a children's project that my friend Katie had that head left over. So she brought it to Summer Sing Camp and was like, we'll make a goddess puppet out of this. Pretty soon the goddess became known as Sanuve. And then I had already written this song, which was, Sanuve was a goddess, but she did not have a big head. It wasn't about the size of her head. It was about what human beings project onto deities. Now, I'm looking at the clock back there going, okay, Judy, what does your timer say? 10:57. Oh, man, I don't know. All right. So we must have chattered on and on a bit earlier. So the Sanuve name, which sounds like it should mean something, doesn't it? It's a Norwegian name meaning. I looked all over my Norwegian urdebukkers and there was no name for it. There was no meaning to Sanuve. So we had to make her up. And we said that Sanuve was a mythical Scandinavian goddess come to bring freedom, justice, and love of the arts to the world, particularly through women. Pretty good, huh? It sounds so believable. I've done this before from stage, let me tell you. I have told just preposterous things and people have come up during the break and asked me about the thing. And I go, wow. Yeah. So, but that's how people are. Have you noticed? If we want to believe something, what happens? We believe it. We got a whole country that's got a little problem with that right now. So anyway, Sanuve has this mission, and the story gets bigger and bigger. That's what happens with deities. You start making up a little bit, and then pretty soon a little bit more comes on. Pretty soon a little bit more comes on. Pretty soon the person's on television with a show of his or her own, and pretty soon more people start believing it. Pretty soon it's on radio. Pretty soon it's on cable. So you got to be careful, right? The slippery slope. So my friend Jana, when she heard that I had made up this goddess, or we had made up this goddess, she said, Judy, you can't just make up a goddess. And I thought back a few eons and millennia before there were human beings on the planet. And when the molten magma was simmering around somewhere in the Missouri, creating those incredible canyons between Helena and Great Falls, and when the caldera was forming here in Yellowstone Park, I thought, you know, there was a time before language. And there was some pretty big stuff going on. And then people began to name it. Which is why the ancient Hebrews said, do not say the word Yahweh. And they wrote it without vowels, so that no one could utter the word Yahweh and claim to know or to possess power like that. So anyway, my friend Janice, she says, you can't just make a goddess up. And I, because I've studied theology and thought critically for a long time, said, yes, I can, Jana. They're all made up. So now, the Montana Women's Chorus of Bozeman will help me with this final song of the sermon, such as it is. Okay, here we go. Well, we might have to cut a couple of things. Yeah. Okay. This is typical of me. There are some churches in Africa which are so cool, and people come to these churches. My friend Larry Pray, who's a minister who was in Big Timber for a while when I went to the UCC there, he said, you know, when he was in Lesotho, that the people would come to the church and they would hand out the offering plates at some point. And if there wasn't enough, they'd go back and count the money. And if there wasn't enough money, the service went on longer. They'd pass it again. If there wasn't enough money, service would go on longer. Sometimes it went on the entire afternoon. I thought, this is good. I can do that. So let me know how that offering goes, okay? Here we go. So here's Sanuve. Sanuve was a goddess. She did not have a big head. She was a dreamer. She was a dreamer. She was a dreamer instead. Now Sanuve was a goddess. She did not have a palace, or a tower. She lived with the people, ate low on the food chain. She was a sustainable goddess. And we're dancing with Sanuve's daughters. And we're laughing with Sanuve's daughters. And we're singing with Sanuve's daughters. Bamboo and wisteria, microbes and bacteria, even kids in the cafeteria. And we're dancing with Sanuve's children, laughing, and we're laughing with Sanuve's children, singing, and we're singing with Sanuve's children. Sanuve was a goddess of the highest resolution. Millions of colors, gazillions of pixels. She was a digital goddess. And Sanuve was a goddess. She did not work in a cubicle. She colored outside the lines, went dancing at lunchtime, and talked to the trees in women's parks.
sunshine. Don't trample the flowers. Be gentle on the grass. Go easy on the waters. We're Sanuve's daughters. We're Sanuve's daughters. Now that's a part for everybody. And the males in this room might think, I can't sing that. But you know, you could, because some Unitarian Universalists believe in reincarnation. And I can bet that if you were a male this time, chances are you're going to be female next time. Or maybe you'll be gender fluid, so you might as well sing it here. We're Sanuve's daughters. We're Sanuve's daughters. We're Sanuve's daughters. Keep singing. We're Sanuve's daughters. Sanuve was a goddess. Oh, how she loved justice. She worked for the common good. True brother and sisterhood. We love all the stories and the songs she taught us. Now wisdom, here we go. And we're dancing with Sanuve's wisdom. And we're laughing with Sanuve's wisdom.
Just don't talk amongst yourselves for a minute, though.
Just sit quiet.
Just sit quiet. Did you used to be a kindergarten teacher?
I could have been. We are going to.
You make the call.
Okay.
It'll be an altar call.